Chicago is beautiful in the fall before the bitter winds of winter blow in and sap away all the color and life from the streets. Normally, Gino quite likes visiting Chicago. It's a nice city, and they don't get to go too often. But Sydney is on edge for the whole journey, snippy and sulky. He nearly bites off Flower's head during breakfast when Flower makes a quite tame joke about Sydney's shirt. And when Tanger tries to intervene, Sydney gets up and moves tables. Gino, who had been reading one of the Russian magazines his mother sends him, sighs and stands up.
"Sorry,"
he says to James and Paul, who barely look up from their eggs. Sydney has gone off to sulk at the table where the rookies are huddled together, looking a little worried. Gino gives them a reassuring smile before laying his hand on the back of Sydney's neck.
"Come on, Sid,"
he says, tugging a little at his collar.
"Come sit with me."
There is a brief moment where Gino is afraid Sydney will say no. Then Sydney sighs dramatically and gets to his feet. Gino herds Sydney over to his own table, pushes at Sydney until he takes a seat that Brooksy has vacated, and then sits down himself. Now that they're closer together, Gino can see the dark circles under Sydney's eyes.
"Sleep bad?"
he asks, passing over his cup of coffee. Sydney scowls but takes it, which tells Gino just how tired he must be.
"Miss Mason."
"Yes," Sydney says after a moment. He takes a sip of coffee, makes a face, and reaches into the middle for the sugar. "I kept waking up thinking I could hear him." Gino looks over at James, who is watching them with his fork covering halfway between his plate and his mouth.
"Think practice will help?"
"I hope so," Sydney says, and he drinks the rest of his sugary coffee without another word. Sydney goes back upstairs a little while after that, ostensibly to brush his teeth. But Gino had seen him not very subtly checking his phone, and he guesses that Sydney is probably going to pester his nanny. He shakes his head fondly and goes to refill his coffee cup. When he sits back down, James has his arms crossed. "So," he says, "Sydney's kid." Gino frowns at him.
"Yes."
"Is he handling it okay?" James asks. "He seemed..." He flaps his hand around vaguely. "On edge," supplies Paul. "Yeah, that," James says.
"First time away from baby,"
Gino says with a shrug.
"Maybe distract him later, take him out."
Actually, Gino thinks, it's not a bad idea. Maybe if he got Sydney out of the hotel, Sydney would relax a little, or at least be too busy complaining about something else to worry about Mason.
"I go get him. Want to come?"
James shrugs.
"Sure, I'm game."
He glances at Paul, who shakes his head.
"Guess I'm third wheeling it," James says wryly.
And he stands up to get more cereal before Gino has a chance to scowl at him. After he finishes eating, Gino goes to find Sydney, expecting him to have holed up in his room, but instead finds him pacing the hall on his phone. Gino pulls up short in time to hear Sydney say, "I just wanted to check in. I know I called an hour ago." Gino sighs and heads over to Sydney. A tinny female voice is saying, "He's fine, Sydney. I promise I will call if anything at all unusual happens." When Gino touches Sydney's shoulder, he jerks so hard that he drops his phone. "Gino," he says, eyes huge.
"Call babysitter,"
Gino says.
"I understand. But I am sure Mason is fine," Sid.
He leans down to pick up the phone and says into it,
"Hello, this is Simone."
He glances at Sydney to make sure he got the name right. "Yes, is this, Gino?" Simone asks. Now that he can hear her voice clearly, the French-Canadian accent is much more obvious. It's not as strong as Flowers, more of a halfway between his and Tanger's, but it's still reassuringly familiar. Gino bets that Sydney likes that. Sydney said you had been a very big help.
I not do much, Gino says. Sid will call back later. I take him out for a walk.
I'm not a dog, Sydney says, grumpily. Gino reaches out absentmindedly and ruffles Sydney's hair, grinning when Sydney lets out an indignant squawk. I don't mind him calling, Simone says. It's good he worries.
He worries too much.
Gino drops his hand to Sydney's shoulder and squeezes.
Thank you, Simone. Bye.
Make sure Mason doesn't eat carrots. He doesn't do orange things this week. Sydney adds, just before Gino hangs up. He scowls over at Gino and snatches his phone back. Thanks.
You need to relax,
Gino says, squeezing Sydney's shoulder again.
Come, Neil say he come for a walk with us.
They meet James downstairs, where he's running his fingers through his hair in front of a very unimpressed Pascal.
He still looks spiky, Pascal says, poking at him. Like an electrocuted hedgehog.
That's what it's supposed to look like, James says.
He sighs and turns to Gino. It looks good, right?
Sure, girls love,
Gino says, rolling his eyes. James pouts, but stops messing with his hair.
You guys have no appreciation for my art.
He sniffs.
It's just hair, Sydney says blankly.
James's eyes go comically wide in horror.
Just hair, James demands. Oh, here we go, Pascal mutters. Have fun, boys.
The hair argument that ensues lasts about 5 blocks. James waxing poetic about whatever ridiculous product he uses while also chirping Sydney's tendency to slather on the gel. Gino personally thinks Sydney looks much better when he lets his curls be. But Sydney has never listened to him. Somewhere along the line, Sydney had gotten it into his head that gel somehow looks more adult and professional, and there's no shifting him now. They return to the hotel about half an hour later. Sydney looks much more relaxed, the tightness gone from the corners of his eyes. Just before he goes into his room, he turns and squeezes Gino's shoulder. Thanks, he says quietly, then ducks away, and Gino stands there, watching him go. They just barely beat Chicago. The score holding even at 2-2 until Sydney gives Chris a beautiful pass that has nowhere to go but the back of the net in the last few minutes of the third. Sydney shouts in triumph. Throwing his hands in the air, Gino taps his fist against Sydney's when Sydney comes back to the bench for a change before taking the ice with James. After the game, Sydney goes to meet Taves for a quick drink, muttering that he better not be bitter about an exhibition game. Gino heads up to his room after eating a post-game snack with James and Paul, prepared to just go straight to bed. He was already showered and curled in between the sheets when there's a knock at his door, the brisk, sharp pattern telling him it's probably Sydney.
Go away, I want sleep,
he yells.
Let me in, Gino, Sydney calls back.
With a groan, Gino drags himself out of bed and stomps his way over to the door.
Sid,
he says when he opens the door.
Better be good reason.
Sydney looks Gino over and turns slightly pink.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were joking. I can let you go back to bed.
Already get me up, Gino says. Tell me why.
Sydney worries his bottom lip and then sighs.
I told Johnny about Mason, he says. And then he asked when Mason's birthday was so he could buy a gift, and I realized Mason's birthday is in a month. He's almost a year old.
Gino silently opens the door wider so Sydney can come in, flicking on the light so we can see him better. Sydney sits on the bed right where Gino had been splayed out, and he puts his head in his hands. For a moment, Gino just stares at him, unsure what to do or say. He eventually settles on sitting next to Sydney and tentatively resting a hand against the small of Sydney's back.
Sid?
He asks.
You okay?
It's just... a year. Sydney looks up at Gino, and I've missed so much of it.
Not miss it now,
Gino says. Sydney gives him an exasperated look, and Gino pinches his side lightly.
You know what I mean.
Yes. Sydney straightens. I think I want to do something special for Mason's birthday.
Good,
says Gino.
Have party. Have team attend. Mason meet other kids, not just stay with Nanny.
Yeah, Sydney says, nodding slowly. Duper has been bugging me about not inviting his family over. His brow is still furrowed, though, pensive and worried. Gino rubs Sydney's back without thinking, and Sydney leans into him. Can I call Simone?
Should call,
Gino says.
Don't need permission, Sid.
I just don't want to be too annoying, Sydney says, narrowing his eyes at Gino even as he squirms to pull his phone out of his pocket. The two of them sit together while it rings. But the moment Simone picks up, Sydney stands, pacing towards the door. Simone? Gino lies back on the bed and stares at the ceiling, only half listening as Sydney asks Simone about Mason. Then Sydney says, can I talk to him? And Gino props himself up on his elbows to watch. Hi, Sydney breathes, face breaking out into an incandescently bright smile. Hey, Mason, it's Daddy. For a moment, Gino can't breathe right, air catching against the sharp lump of fondness in his throat. Sydney is speaking quietly, mostly nonsense words, but it's so loving and so fatherly that Gino suddenly misses his own family. Homesickness hitting him harder than it has in years. He has to look away, eyes itching, and he's rubbing at his face when Sydney touches his shoulder. His palm is warm even through the fabric of his shirt, and his fingers spread wide, 5 points of torturous pressure. And for a moment, that's all Gino can concentrate on, until he takes in what Sydney is saying. Talk to Mason, Sydney says, pressing the phone into Gino's hand. He'll want to hear you.
He only baby, protests Gino.
But he lifts the phone to his ear anyway and says,
hello, Mason.
He hears the faint sound of Mason gurgling, and Simone laughs. He looks happy to hear your voice, she says. For lack of anything else to do or say, Gino starts humming the lullaby he has started thinking of as Mason's, and then starts singing the words when he hears Mason let out a little giggle. He chances a look at Sydney as he's finishing the first verse, and stumbles when he sees Sydney watching him, his smile soft and fond. Fortunately for Gino's dignity, Simone takes that moment to say, thank you, Gino, but I think I should put him to bed. It's a bit late for him.
Yes, Gino says, gratefully. Here, Sid.
He thrusts the phone back at Sydney, who gives him a look that very clearly says, you're being weird. Oh, yes, right. Sydney hesitates, chewing his bottom lip a little. Can I say goodnight to Mason? Sydney sits down on the edge of the bed. Hey, Mason, he says a moment later, voice turning into a sing-song coo. Daddy loves you, okay? Good night. Sydney is smiling besottedly when he finally manages to turn off the phone. looking down at the screen for a long moment. Gino turns so he's facing Sydney and asks,
"Better?"
"Yeah." Sydney knocks his knuckles against Gino's shoulder uncomfortably. Thanks.
"Always, Sid,"
Gino says. He tries to smile. His chest pulls painfully.
"Good night."
"Night, Gino." Sydney hesitates at the door, then waves. A little waggle of fingers that causes Gino's smile to tip over into sincerity. He slips outside after turning the lights off, door closing behind him with a soft click. In the now quiet room, Gino stares at the closed door for a long minute before getting back in bed and lying awake, staring at the ceiling in the darkness. They return to Pittsburgh early the next morning. Everyone is a little bleary-eyed, James stumbling into people until Paul shoves a coffee from the hotel breakfast bar into his hands. Sydney falls asleep on Flower's shoulders less than 15 minutes into the flight, eyes slipping shut and mouth falling open. Flower takes it in stride, hardly even glancing over from his video game. But Gino finds himself staring, even though he has a magazine open on his lap. "Long night?" Flower asks Gino, pointing at Sydney. Gino shrugs.
"Seem homesick? Maybe he not sleep good."
"Aw," Flower sighs. "I was hoping we could pull a prank on him, but now I feel bad."
"Sorry,"
Gino says, shrugging. Sydney sleeps the whole flight, and when they land, he's still a little sleep dumb, wavering on his feet as Gino and Flower herd him down the stairs. "Can't believe we're already home," Sydney mumbles, and he almost slips down a step. Gino catches his arm and pulls him upright.
"You okay to get home?"
Flower asks Sydney, eyeing him as he lists to the side, blinking slowly.
"It's okay. I go with him,"
Gino says.
"Took cab here."
"All right," Flower says, although he still looks dubious. "You got him?"
"Yeah."
Gino grabs Sydney's elbow just as Sydney starts to fall.
"Come on, Sid."
Sydney makes a token protest as Gino takes his keys from his pocket, but basically collapses in the passenger seat as soon as he climbs inside. "I couldn't sleep last night," he says when Gino gets in the driver's seat. "I started making a list of things I'd need for Mason's birthday, and then I realized that I don't know what you'd do for a one-year-old's birthday. Clowns are scary. I think he'd choke on balloon animals."
"Cake,"
suggests Gino, cutting him off before he can really get going.
"One candle."
Sydney snorts. "Yeah, I figured that part out. But it's really a party for the parents, isn't it? He's too young to know that it's his birthday." He closes his eyes. "I need to get Mason something special."
"He too little to know,"
Gino says, shrugging. "Doesn't matter," Sydney half mumbles the words, clearly halfway back to sleep. "It's his first birthday present from me. It has to be special."
"We find something."
Sydney doesn't answer, and when Gino chances a glance over, he sees that Sydney has fallen asleep against the window, mouth open unattractively. He smiles and allows himself to speed up since Sydney isn't awake to scold him. Gino has to herd Sydney up the walk to his front door and carries his bag for him. He reaches past Sydney to ring the doorbell and waits until a woman with a thick mane of dark hair opens the door.
"Hello, Simone,"
Gino says, waving.
"Sid is very sleepy."
"I can see that," Simone says, a smile quirking at the corner of her mouth. In person, her accent is a little more obvious, charmingly clipped. "Mason is still asleep." "I want to see him," Sydney says, jerking upright and eyes opening wide. He stumbles past Simone, leaving Gino at the door with her. "Why don't you come in?" Simone suggests after a moment. Gino lugs Sydney's duffel into the entrance hall, hesitates, then says,
"I take it upstairs."
Simone waves him on, still smiling faintly. Gino nods and smiles before following Sydney upstairs. He sets the bag down at the end of Sydney's bed, then heads to Mason's room. Sydney is leaning on the crib, staring down at Mason with huge eyes. Gino leans against the doorframe for a few silent moments before quietly clearing his throat. "There was a part of me that was worried I'd come home and something would have happened," says Sydney without looking up. "But he's fine."
"Yes," Gino says.
He moves to stand next to Sydney, the back of his hand brushing against Sydney's thigh. The room is quiet for a minute while they both look down at Mason, who is sleeping peacefully, one hand clutching at his stuffed penguin. It's the kind of quiet Gino has learned to associate with baby. The air warm and sweet-smelling. The only noise, the sound of Mason's soft breaths. After a few minutes, Sydney shifts next to Gino and whispers, "I'm going to bed. Take a nap." Mason stirs, blinking his eyes open, and Sydney turns back at the little noise Mason makes. "Dada," Mason murmurs, reaching out. Sydney picks him up, settling him against his shoulder, and murmurs too softly for Gino to hear. Mason reaches out a little towards Gino and pokes him in the chin. Gino grabs his finger and shakes it gently. "Can you say hi to Gino?" Sid asks softly, beaming. "Say hi to Gino." "Gee," says Mason. He promptly buries his face in Sydney's shoulder. Gino grins and brushes Mason's soft hair from his forehead.
"Close," Gino says. "I will go home now."
"Wait, how are you going to get there?" Sydney asks, turning.
"Maybe Simone," suggests Gino. "Or I call cab. Stay, rest. Play with baby."
He pats Sydney's back.
"See you at practice."
"Okay," Sydney says, still frowning. "Yeah, thanks for driving me home." He yawns widely and shakes his head a little, as if to clear out the cobwebs. "I'll see you." Gino heads back downstairs to find Simone tidying up a pile of books on the kitchen table. She gives him a small smile and says, "It's nice to finally meet you. I've heard so much about you from Sydney."
"Really?"
Gino picks up her books for her, grunting at the weight of them.
"He say good things?"
"Of course," Simone smiles. "He says you're going to be Mason's favorite uncle." Gino's stomach twists a little at the word uncle.
"Can you drive me?"
he asks abruptly, hoping the subject change will mask his reaction. "Oh, sure." Simone shoulders her overnight bag with surprising ease and gestures for him to follow her. "He's right, though. It seems like you bought everything Mason has."
"I spoil him,"
Gino says gruffly. "Not the worst I've seen." Once they're outside, she opens the trunk of her car, throws her bag inside. "You can just put the books there," she says, pointing, "and grab your bag from Sydney's car." Gino does as she says and gets in the car after reclaiming his bag from Sydney's back seat.
"Have a lot of books," he remarks,
rubbing at where the edge of one of them had cut into his forearm. "Thesis writing requires a lot of books," Simone says wryly. "I'm lucky Mason isn't a more energetic baby."
"Care for babies a lot?"
Gino asks. Simone shoots him a look that says she knows he's trying to screen her. "Oldest of five," she says. "My parents worked. I took care of my siblings." Gino grins and says,
"Okay, no more questions."
"It's okay," Simone says. "I've had worse from families." Gino laughs wryly.
"I think you know. Being a single dad harder than Sydney think. Want to know he have good help."
"It is hard, especially with your schedule," Simone says. She glances over at Gino. "If it helps, they both seem to be doing okay. I hope I help, but it will get easier."
"Hope you're right,"
Gino sighs, thinking of Sydney's shadowed eyes and the tension he's been wearing like a second skin. He doesn't know how much more Sydney can take, If he's going to be this stressed and anxious every time they go on the road, he isn't sure how he'll survive the season. I'll keep an eye on him, Simone promises. I won't always be around, obviously, but I will be around a lot. If it seems like he's not doing well, I'll let you know.
Thank you, Gino says.
He rests his head against the window and sighs. From what Gino can tell from a couple of times he visits Sydney at home, it does get easier. Sydney loosens up a little and doesn't have any more panicky moments that Gino sees, even when Mason throws fits and cries. It's good, reassuring even, because it means Gino doesn't have to worry about Sydney on top of his own worries about his game performance. They play the Senators a couple weeks into the season, and Gino and Sergei meet up afterwards at Sergei's home for a late dinner. The girls are already asleep, but Xenia is still around, and she greets Gino with a fond kiss on the cheek before shuffling off to the living room to watch some late-night TV.
How are you? Sergei asks, handing Gino a plate. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I've been busy.
Gino sits at the kitchen island and scrubs a hand over his face.
Things have been...
He hesitates, trying to figure out how to encompass everything from his own lackluster performance during the last few games to the whole Sydney Mason situation.
Complicated.
Yeah?
Sergei sits down across from him and nudges the Tupperware of stuffed cabbage closer to Gino.
What do you mean?
Instead of spilling everything about Sydney and Mason like he wants to, he tells Sergei about how frustrated he's been getting with his play, and Sergei listens patiently as usual. It's comforting, as it always is, even though Sergei inevitably reminds Gino of the early days in Pittsburgh, when he was so homesick and anxious he could barely speak in Russian, let alone try to use the few words of English he knew. Sergei was, and still is, his anchor in America in a lot of ways, and he misses being able to see him nearly every day and ask him for his advice. He badly wants to tell Sergei about Mason, but it's not for him to tell, not without Sydney's say-so.
You're not telling me something, Sergei says shrewdly, when Gino finally runs out of ways to stall him. Xenia, what is it?
Gino sighs, resigned.
I don't know if I... Let me just...
He pulls out his phone and sends Sydney a quick text.
Okay, tell Sergei about Mason.
Sergei watches him carefully, gaze a little too knowing for his comfort. Gino fidgets, pokes at the potatoes on his plate, and waits for Sydney to text him back. Finally, his phone buzzes.
It's fine. Sydney says.
Gino lets out a breath and looks up to meet Sergei's eyes.
Sydney, he has a son?
Gino says. He fumbles with his phone, scrolling through the photos until he finds one he had taken of Mason, the last time he had been at Sydney's house. Mason is smiling, displaying his few teeth, and Sydney is propping him upright with one hand.
Almost a year old.
Sergei takes Gino's phone and stares at it for a long time.
I remember... You remember when the girls were this small?
He smiles a little sadly and passes it back.
Handsome child.
Yes,
says Gino, looking at the picture. Mason had just come out of his bath. Sydney had been damp and frustrated, Mason giggly and squirmy while trying to get Gino's attention.
He looks like Sydney.
Sergei nods. After a moment, he lays his hand over Gino's. Are you all right?
He is a great kid,
Gino says.
That isn't what I asked.
Gino doesn't answer that. Sergei sighs and gets to his feet.
How is Sid doing?
He seems to be handling it well.
Gino, out of habit, rises to help Sergei clean up.
He's a good father.
Of course he is, says Sergei. That boy has been waiting to have babies since he signed his NHL contract.
Where's the mother?
Africa.
When Sergei raises his eyebrows in surprise, Gino gives an abbreviated version of the story Sydney had told him while he dries the plates.
I worry, he confesses. How will Sydney be able to deal with it when she comes back? He already hates leaving him for road games.
That is another problem for another time, Sergei says. He squeezes Gino's arm lightly.
Let him know he has my and Zenya's best wishes, okay?
Of course, Gino says. Thank you.
And call, Sergei adds. The girls want to see you. They got spoiled this summer seeing you all the time. Gino laughs and says,
give them big hugs and kisses for me, okay?
Sergei drives Gino back to his hotel, makes him promise to remind him about Mason's birthday, and leaves Gino to trudge up to his room. He runs into Sydney in the hall, and they both freeze. After a moment, Sydney lets out a nervous giggle. How is Gotch?
He is good,
Gino says.
He and Zenya sent good wish for Mason.
That's nice of them. Sydney rubs his bare foot against his calf. Gino finds himself following the motion with his eyes and hates himself a little for it. Well, good night. Sleep well.
You too,
Gino says, and he quickly retreats into his hotel room. The second week of November, Gino receives an elegantly printed card inviting him to Mason Crosby's first birthday, with the added instructions that gifts were appreciated but not necessary. Gino smiles, texts Sydney his RSVP, and goes online to browse for baby gifts. You're buying him a million gifts, aren't you? Comes a reply from Sydney.
Only 100,
smiley, Gino sends back. Sydney calls him a few minutes later, and after saying hello, pleads, please, just something small or practical. More diapers or baby food or something.
That is not for birthday,
Gino says reprovingly.
Birthday means fun gift, not boring.
Nevertheless, he changes his search to penguin diapers. You've already bought him too many things, Sydney scolds. You're going to spoil him.
He deserves it,
Gino says firmly.
Mason is the best.
Yeah. Sydney's voice turns impossibly fond. He's great.
See? Need good gifts.
Gino grins.
Even you say so.
That's not what I said, protests Sydney. I'm going to run out of room in my house.
Buy bigger house,
suggests Gino.
I just got this one.
But Sydney is laughing, his loud, genuine laugh that's hideously embarrassing and charming at the same time. Ugh, whatever. I'm never going to be able to stop you anyway.
No,
Gino agrees cheerfully.
Mason have 100 gifts.
I hate you, Sydney says, very sincerely. Gino laughs and hangs up on him. On the day of the actual birthday party, Gino takes Mason's gifts, as neatly wrapped as he's capable of, and drives over to Sydney's house a little early with the vague idea of helping him set up. He arrives to find the house in utter chaos. Sydney looking like a man demented as he tried to calm Mason and clean the dining room at the same time. Simone gives Gino an exasperated look and lets him in. Sydney is going crazy, she says, crossing her arms.
Yes,
Gino agrees. He gestures for her to stay put and cautiously approaches Sydney.
Sid?
Oh, great, you're here, Sydney says despairingly. I knew we wouldn't be ready in time.
Sid?
Gino grabs Sydney's shoulders.
Relax. Give me Mason.
Sydney stares at him for a moment, then obediently passes his son over. Mason is crying weakly, probably sensing Sydney's stress. and he doesn't calm even when Gino hums to him a little.
Should put him to bed for nap,
Gino says, stroking his fingers through Mason's hair.
You should nap too.
I have stuff to do, Sydney says weakly.
Simone, you know what to do?
Gino calls without looking over.
Yes, Sydney recited the list about 15 times, she says, and Gino can just tell she's rolling her eyes.
Go nap.
Gino hands Mason back to Sydney, then starts herding him towards the stairs.
We will clean
and decorate, Sydney says, twisting around. You're supposed to have decorations.
Yes.
Gino slaps Sydney's ass.
Go to sleep. We wake you.
Okay, Sydney says after a moment, and he stumbles up the stairs to hopefully relax. Satisfied, Gino turns to Simone, who is openly laughing at them. All right, she says once she's recovered herself. Let's get to work. By the time the first guest starts to arrive, Gino and Simone have made the house both presentable and festive. Gold and black streamers draped over the railings and a big black and gold happy birthday sign hanging in the living room. Simone goes to fetch Sydney and the birthday boy, while Gino directs the Dupuy family to deposit their gifts at the table against the back wall of the living room.
Do you live here now?
Pascal asks as Maeva carefully sets a brightly colored bag on the table, going on tiptoes to push it towards the back.
Uh-huh, Gino says, rolling his eyes. Funny.
I'm just saying, I don't see Sid.
He looks around over dramatically.
Is he hiding under the table?
He crouches down, shading his eyes with his hands. Maeva giggles, says,
Daddy, we would see him.
Yes, of course. How silly of me. Pascal winks at Gino as he straightens up. Sydney comes downstairs with Mason a minute later, and Pascal and Carol Lynn are immediately distracted, leaving Gino with four tiny curious children, the youngest of whom barely reaches Gino's knee. After some very quick thinking, Gino suggests,
Game?
And they all nod excitedly. He unearths an ancient copy of Candyland in one of Sydney's closets and sets it up on the living room floor, watching closely to be sure that Lola doesn't try to put the pieces in her mouth. He's relieved in his chaperoning duties by Pascal, who elbows him out of the way so he can claim the green piece.
Go help Sid, Pascal says, poking Gino.
Yes, yes, sighs Gino.
He returns to the dining room where Sydney is watching Carol Lynn hold Mason while she talks to Veronique, a tight, manic grin on his face. Gino bumps his shoulder against Sydney's and whispers,
She knows how to hold baby.
And Sydney shoots him a look. I know, he mutters, but I can't help it.
You're okay when I hold him,
Gino says, raising his eyebrows.
I trust you, Sydney says huffily. It's different.
Gino smiles and pats Sydney on the back.
Need anything?
Just make sure everyone is okay, Sydney asks,
and Gino nods. The house slowly fills with people over the next quarter of an hour. Pretty much everyone spends at least a couple of minutes in the dining room cooing at Mason, which Mason handles with considerably more poise than Sydney, who gets tenser and tighter the longer Mason isn't in his arms. Most of the adults wind up sitting around Sydney's room and chatting while the kids play tag outside under the watchful eye of Simone and Carol Lynn. Sydney and Mason finally make it into the living room after everyone has arrived and taken their turn with Mason. Gino scoots over closer to James to give Sydney room on the couch. Sydney sits gratefully, and Gino instinctively reaches to take Mason. He catches James giving him an odd look as Mason sighs and curls up against Gino's chest.
What?
Nothing, James says, though his eyebrows are still creeping towards his hairline. He's a good kid, isn't he?
Best,
Gino says firmly, stroking Mason's back. Sydney gives them all a fond smile before leaning back and closing his eyes. Gino decides to let him be for the time being. There's no particular need for him to be awake. "You're good with him," Veronique says later, when Mason has dozed off in Gino's arms. She's watching them with a fond gaze, her hands folded over her own baby-curved belly. "Thinking of having one of your own?" Gino bites back the brief pang of loneliness, the unexpected reminder of his current bachelordom. He'd always hoped to have kids. Had hoped, in the earlier days, when he was still with Oksana, that his children would be able to grow up with Sydneys and flowers. He had never imagined that he would be the one left behind.
"I need wife first," he points out, smiling wryly. "Or girlfriend, maybe."
"Sydney better watch out, you might just steal his kid," Flower says, grinning. "You're already like a father to him."
And Gino is hit, suddenly, by how badly he wants that to be true. He wants to watch Mason grow up, wants to teach him Russian and how to skate. He wants to be there for Mason's first date and for his inevitable draft. And for all his temper tantrums. It's all too easy to imagine. He's already so proud that Mason knows him, that Sydney trusts him with his son. And he has come to treasure Mason's smiles and laughs. He wants to open his mouth, make a joke to distract Flower, but he can't figure out what to say without revealing himself entirely. So he settles for glaring.
"Acid?" Flower says, leaning over to poke Sydney in the knee.
Sydney jerks up, blinking. "What?" he asks, breathless and confused with sleep. "What's going on?"
"Gino is going to steal your son," James clarifies from Gino's other side. "Why would he need to?" Sydney asks, frowning.
Gino opens his mouth to explain, but Sydney is getting to his feet, gesturing for him to follow. "I think it's cake time." Lola, who had returned inside to collapse on Duper's lap, perks up and says, "Cake?" Gino follows Sydney into the dining room and waits until Sydney comes out of the kitchen with a large sheet cake in his hands. The cake, predictably, has the penguin's logo on it, and Sydney carefully puts one candle in the penguin's eye. He surveys it proudly. Then, seemingly at random, says, "I have to get my computer."
"What?"
Gino adjusts Mason on his hip.
"Why?"
"I told Aaron we'd Skype her so she could sing to him," Sydney says. Gino's stomach twists. "I'll be right back. Don't let anyone touch the cake." Gino mock salutes and smiles when Sydney laughs. Mason laughs too, a happy, infectious giggle that stretches Gino's smile wider.
"You happy you're going to see your mama?"
Gino asks, and Mason gurgles happily. Sydney reappears a few minutes later with his laptop, which he sets down carefully next to the cake. "Can you still hear me, Aaron?" "Yes, you're coming through just fine." Mason shifts at the sound of his mother's voice. "Where's Mason?"
"Hang on." Sydney gestures for Gino to pass Mason over. "Here he is."
Gino edges over to get a look at the screen. The woman in the Skype window looks pale and washed out in the harsh lighting of the room she's in. She's pretty, though, much as Gino remembered. And she has a lovely smile. When he finally looks at her, Mason waves his arms and says, "Mama!" "Hey, Mason," Aaron says, voice sounding staticky through the connection. She smiles and waves. "I miss you. Wish I could be there." "Mama," Mason says again, straining against Sydney's hold. Sydney strokes his back and shoots Gino a look.
"Could you get everyone else?" he asks quietly. "Aaron doesn't have long."
"Sure, Sid."
Gino allows himself to pat Sydney's back just once before he returns to the living room and calls everyone in. It's a tight fit around the table. Mason settled into his high chair in front of the cake, and everyone else jostling for a better view of the cake. The kids elbow their way to the front, and Gino scoops up Craig's son to keep him from getting squished against the corner. Once everyone has stopped elbowing each other, Sydney looks around, smiling, and counts them into the song. In the history of the birthday song, there have definitely been more cohesive performances, Gino thinks. Ones where only one language was being sung instead of three, and everyone was on key. Certainly none of them are particularly strong singers, but there's still something magical in the warm smiles of everyone gathered around the table as they watch the candle of Mason's first birthday cake glow brightly. "Blow," Sydney says when the song is finished, smiling at Mason. He demonstrates, and Mason copies him, but is only just strong enough to make the flame flicker a little. Sydney blows it out for him, and everyone claps politely. After a couple of frankly pathetic attempts on Sydney's part, Carol Lynn nudges Sydney aside and takes over cutting the cake. Sydney cedes his place and retreats to the kitchen with his laptop, presumably to say goodbye to Aaron. He returns a moment later, just as Carol Lynn hands Mason his slice. Mason immediately pushes his hands into the cake, giggling, and Sydney makes a face as everyone else laughs. "He's going to be a nightmare tonight," he sighs as Mason starts eating cake off his fingers. "Part of the joy of being a parent," says Michelle Cook as her children run off towards the living room, plates of cake in hand. Once the cake has been eaten, the guests start to leave, parents collecting their children despite their protests that the gifts haven't been opened, and everyone stopping by to say a last goodbye to Mason and Sydney. Mason is visibly running out of steam, his mumbled, "bye-bye," coming fainter with each repetition. "I should put him to bed," Sydney says eventually. "Can you tell anyone who's left that's where I've gone?" Gino nods and watches Sydney go upstairs. When he looks back, he sees Simone picking up the discarded paper plates from the table and throwing them into a garbage bag. He hurries to help, feeling guilty when he sees how much she's already done.
"Don't have to do,"
he says, gesturing.
"Not your job."
Simone shrugs. "I like to help." She points at the remains of the cake. "I'm going to put that in the refrigerator. Do you mind finishing up here?" They just about have the kitchen and dining room completely cleaned up when Sydney returns downstairs, a small gift bag in hand. "For you," he says to Simone, thrusting it out. "You've been such an amazing help." "Sydney," Simone says with wide eyes, "you don't have to..." "Take it," Sydney says, going a little pink. "Go on." Simone shoots Gino a small smile, then takes the bag. "Thank you." "You can go home," Sydney adds. "You said you have a meeting with your thesis advisor on Monday. You should prepare for that." "Yes, I do," Simone says, seemingly off balance. Gino can sympathize. "All right, as long as you're sure you don't need anything else." "I've got Gino," Sydney says, and Gino's heart thumps hard at the careless implication in those words. "But thank you, and thank you for coming." "I'll email you the photos I took," Simone promises, heading out to the hall closet to grab her coat. "Have a nice night, Sydney." "You too, Gino." Gino waves goodbye before turning to survey the unruly pile of gifts.
"When you open them?" he asks Sydney.
"Probably tomorrow." Sydney rubs at his face and yawns. "I was supposed to Skype my parents so they could see Mason, but I don't want to wake him."
"Should call them still,"
Gino says.
"Your mom is sad she can't come, yes?"
"Yeah," Sydney nods. "All right." Suddenly, Sydney lurches forward and wraps his arm around Gino in a tight, awkward embrace. Gino freezes in shock for a moment. Then he carefully hugs Sydney back. It's rare that they hug off ice. Sydney isn't overly demonstrative by nature. Usually Gino can tell when Sydney is in the mood to touch. Alcohol is generally a key factor, and can prepare himself for it. Taken by surprise like this, though, all he can think is how warm Sydney is, how he smells like Mason's baby powder and cake. He tightens his grip instinctively, and Sydney relaxes minutely, dropping his face into Gino's shoulder. "Thank you so much for all your help," Sydney says into Gino's shirt. "You've been great."
"It is not a problem."
Gino forces himself to step away.
"Sid, I'm your friend. It nothing."
Sydney looks at him for a long moment, his expression blank. It really isn't. He bobs his head awkwardly. I'm going to call my family. Thank you for coming.
Of course, Sid.
Gino straightens up, suddenly feeling cold.
See you at practice.
Gino spends a few days after Mason's birthday party thinking about what Veronique had said about having kids. The sad truth is that he doesn't have much time to meet women, or men, for that matter. Nor does he particularly have the inclination. He has always tended to get fixated on people, starting from his first crush in primary school. For years, there had been no one for him but Oksana, even when they were in one of their off periods. But she had never quite eclipsed everything else in his life the way Sydney does. He isn't sure if that's because Sydney was already a huge part of his life before Gino fell in love with him, or if it's just because it's Sydney. He spends the next few weeks leading into the holidays keeping to himself and staying far away from Sydney for the sake of his own mental well-being. As is usual during winter, he starts to miss home more than usual, missing the sharp bite of the wind and the thick snow. He calls his family and Oksana regularly, greedily drinking in the familiarly accented Russian. When they're in D.C. to play the Caps, he asks Alex for a recommendation for a Russian restaurant and goes by himself, wanting to be alone with his thoughts and his memories. I would have gone with you if you asked, Sydney says, a little hurt, when he hears where Gino had gone that night. Gino shrugs and says,
Eat Russian food.
Hey, you used to eat alone in your hotel room, James says from Gino's side.
Sydney goes red and protests that it's different. And Cookie starts joking about how Sydney and Gino are too good for the rest of them. James gives Gino a look that's far more perceptive than Gino is comfortable with and adds, quietly,
You could have brought me.
It's a nice place, Gino says. Why I bring you?
James laughs and flips him off. But they both know the offer was for more than just dessert samplers. Gino appreciates the gesture, even though he has no intention of discussing his weird onset of melancholy with anyone. He is considering seeing what James is doing during their break, as his parents are visiting Dennis for the holiday this year. But before he has a chance to find out, Sydney invites Gino over for Christmas dinner, saying nervously, I know your parents are spending the holiday with your brother this year, and I figured my family's coming down.
I can't,
Gino starts, trying frantically to think of an excuse and wishing he had asked James first. I'm not letting you sit alone at home, Sydney says stubbornly. Come on, you haven't been over in ages. Mason misses you.
My best uncle, Gino agrees. Does he like Penguin Pacifier?
He trips over the last word a bit. But Sydney just smiles and nods.
Yeah, he loves it.
Sydney smiles sheepishly. He plays with it a lot.
Good.
Gino kicks his foot along the ground awkwardly.
Thank you for your invitation.
You're always welcome, Sydney says, voice going soft. You know that.
Gino swallows hard and forces himself to meet Sydney's eyes without flushing.
Yes, I know.
Sydney stares at him, gaze moving restlessly over Gino's face. After a long moment, he seems to find whatever he's looking for and nods, satisfied. Good. So Gino has to go looking for gifts for the rest of the Crosbys. He has already bought Taylor a box set of a show Sydney swears she likes, and he adds them to the already worryingly large pile of gifts he has for Mason and Sydney. He likes seeing the Crosbys. Taylor seems to think of him as a secondary big brother. Troy always likes to talk hockey with him, and Trina likes to feed him as much as possible. But he always feels as though he's intruding when he spends time with them. Still, Sydney wouldn't have invited him if he weren't welcome, and Gino knows how stubborn Sydney can be. On the 25th, Gino arrives at Sydney's house a little before 5, bringing with him a bottle of wine and a small mountain of presents. Taylor squeals when she opens the door and tries to hug him, but only succeeds in dislodging a few of the boxes. She catches one before it hits the ground and giggles. "You should probably put these down," she says, making a tragic face. Gino laughs and obediently heads into the living room to settle the presents under the gaudily decorated Christmas tree. Once he's free of parcels, Taylor hugs him tightly, then tows him into the kitchen, talking about how good the food smells and how cute Mason is. Troy is at the stove while Trina chops vegetables on the counter, but they both step away to give him a hug. "Sydney's upstairs," Trina says, kissing his cheek. "Mason needed a diaper change. Why don't you two go get him?" That's her way of saying, "Get out of the way," Taylor says in a stage whisper. Trina swats her playfully with a dish towel before shooing them out of the kitchen.
"How was Christmas?"
Gino asks Taylor as they head upstairs together.
"Good presents?"
"Oh yeah," Taylor says happily. "Sydney got me a new computer because my old one broke, and Mom and Dad are getting me driving lessons." Taylor chatters cheerfully all the way to Mason's room, but she falls quiet, almost respectfully, once they reach the open door. Gino lightly taps his knuckles on the frame and peeks inside the room to see Sydney holding a freshly swaddled Mason, his back to them.
"Sid," he calls. "Guess who?"
"Duper," Sydney says without turning.
"Ha ha, very funny."
Gino pushes Taylor into the room.
"Taylor wants to see nephew."
Sydney turns and smiles at them, wide and unfettered. "Mason, say hi to Taylor. Say hi." "Hi," Mason mumbles shyly. Then he sees Gino and grins. "Gee!"
"Yes, it's Gino," Sydney agrees. "Gino, you haven't been here in a while. You have to see this."
He goes to his knees on the ground and gently sets Mason on his feet. Gino and Taylor watch Mason as he toddles forward a few steps before apparently giving up and sitting down.
"I swear he's better than that," Sydney says as Mason crawls towards Gino's feet. "Oh, here he goes."
Mason fists his hands in Gino's jeans and laboriously pulls himself upright. "Gee," he says insistently, and Gino looks over at Sydney. "I think he wants you to pick him up," Taylor says helpfully. She's grinning widely, and so is Sydney. Their smile's identical. Gino makes a face at them, but picks Mason up anyway.
"He lazy," Gino says. "Neil been here?"
Sydney laughs and gets to his feet.
"Stop being so judgmental, Gino. Come on, the food smells good. Maybe Mom will let us sneak some."
"She never lets us sneak any," complains Taylor.
"I'll distract her," Sydney suggests. "Dad will let you eat some turkey if Mom is doing something else."
Gino trails after them while they plan, bickering with the same easy camaraderie Gino has with his brother. Mason gnaws at Gino's shirt as they walk down the stairs, dampening the fabric with spit. Gino can't quite find it in him to be annoyed. He has missed Mason and his easy affection. Sydney and Taylor peel off into the kitchen, hissing at each other to be quiet, leaving Gino and Mason to troop into the living room. It looks completely different than it had 3 months ago. Everything padded so Mason won't hit himself on the edge of a table or chair, and the floor is littered with Mason's toys. Gino sets Mason down and watches him make a beeline for the pile of foam cubes in front of the television. Gino sits cross-legged on the floor next to him and gravely accepts the blue cube Mason hands to him. Sydney and Taylor scurry into the living room a few minutes later, giggling and clutching rolls to their chests. Sydney drops to his knees next to Gino and hands him one.
"Here," he says. "We stole one for you."
"Thank you,"
Gino says, looking at the roll dubiously.
"Eat it, it's good," Taylor says, joining them on the floor. "Plus, we braved Mom for you."
Gino obediently rips off a piece of the roll and eats it slowly, savoring the buttery taste. It's nothing like his own mother's bread, but it's warm and flaky and stolen with love. He has nearly finished eating it when Trina comes into the living room, puts her hands on her hips, and says, "Don't think I didn't notice the breadbasket is missing a few rolls." Gino freezes guiltily, the last piece of the roll halfway to his mouth. Sydney and Taylor are badly suppressing their smiles, both of them having wisely already finished eating. Trina surveys them all with an exasperated expression and shakes her head. Honestly, I turned my back for 1 minute.
Sorry,
Gino says, but Trina waves him off. Not you, Gino. I know my children. Trina gestures at them. Come on, scamps. You're going to help me peel the potatoes.
Mom!
Sydney and Taylor whine in perfect unison. Go on, she says. Gino eats a last piece of his roll as they slink out of the room, looking far more alike than their 9-year age gap should allow. Trina gives Gino a smile, then follows them back to the kitchen.
Your dad and aunt are very naughty,
he tells Mason, who had completely ignored all the commotion in favor of trying to put a red block on top of a yellow one.
Don't be like them, or the Dushka Moros will not visit.
Mason nods, even though he probably doesn't understand anything Gino is saying, and points to the block Gino still has in his lap. Gee.
Okay.
Gino passes it back and watches as Mason carefully places it on top of the red block. Mason sits back, apparently pleased with his work. He looks at it for a moment, then leans forward and pushes a tower over in one big motion. It crashes to the ground, soft foam hitting the carpet, and Mason laughs, clapping his hands.
Very good,
Gino says, laughing too. Mason crawls over to Gino and flops into his lap, making a little huffy noise that reminds Gino of Sydney when he's frustrated.
Bored now.
Mason huffs again. Gino pulls him up into his lap and looks around for something he can use to entertain Mason. He settles on the picture book sitting on one of the chairs and holds it open in front of them both.
You probably read better in English than I do,
Gino says, absently kissing the top of Mason's head.
Okay, I will try.
He switches back to English and reads,
The night before Christmas.
Saint Nick is shouting to his reindeer when Sydney returns, looking a little flushed from the heat of the kitchen. There's a smear of flour on his cheekbone, whitening the hair at his temple, and Gino stumbles a little over the next words of the story. Sydney, instead of saying anything, sits down next to Gino and watches him intently as Gino reads the rest of the poem. Slowly, so that he can get all the words out properly. He doesn't speak until Gino reaches the last line, when he joins in saying, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Gino looks up for a moment. He is caught by Sydney's stare. His cheeks heat, and he asks gruffly,
I do something wrong?
No, Sydney says. He smiles, but it's small and fleeting. We've set the table. Mom wants to know if you want red or white wine.
Red,
Gino says. He hoists Mason up into his arms and sets the book aside.
Mason eat with us?
Yes, we have his chair set up. Sydney leads the way back to the dining room. Could you put him in it? Gino is settling Mason into his chair when the doorbell rings. Sydney, who is setting wine glasses at 4 of the place settings, looks up and frowns.
Who could that be?
Gino shrugs.
Mario, maybe?
We saw them yesterday, Sydney says, still frowning. I hope it isn't carolers. He sets down the last glass and heads out into the hall, muttering grumpily under his breath. Gino hears the sound of the door opening and then the soft murmur of voices. He can't make out the words, but it doesn't sound like Mario or Nathalie. So maybe it is carolers. He doesn't hear any caroling, but he does hear the door close. And Gino looks up as Sydney walks back into the dining room, expecting to see him looking annoyed. Instead, Sydney is smiling, sort of. But his brow is furrowed in worry. Gino, could you get everyone else? And sorry, could we get Mason out of the chair?
Sid?
Gino asks, now mildly concerned.
What's going on?
Sydney starts, and then a tall, red-headed woman comes into the room behind Sydney. Hi, she says. From his high chair, Mason shrieks, Mama! The next few minutes are chaos. Sydney's family comes in from the kitchen at the sound of Mason's yell and immediately start talking over each other, all of them asking questions and Sydney trying to answer them. Mason hits the tray of his chair, chanting, Mama! Over and over again, and Gino stares at Erin Purcell. She's even more striking in person, her skin freckled and tan from the sun, and her hair a lighter shade of red than Gino remembers. There's something calm and steadying about her presence, even as she stands in the middle of a family argument, looking distinctly uncomfortable. She can't stop looking at Mason, her eyes huge as she stares at him. Gino makes a snap decision. He takes Mason out of his chair and carries him around the table to Erin, who has retreated to stand against the wall. Mason reaches out as well before they're within touching distance, and Erin takes him from Gino with a look of a wanderer finding shelter in a storm. Mason calms instantly the moment he's in his mother's arms. Erin, for her part, buries her face in Mason's hair and lets out a long, breathy sigh. Hey, Mason, she says quietly. And Gino backs away, not wanting to intrude. The Crosbys slowly quiet down, and they all turn to watch Erin with curious eyes. Gino realizes with a jolt that they might not have ever met her before. Sydney leans over to whisper something in Erin's ear, and she nods without looking up. Sydney says, turning back to face them again. Guys, this is Erin. Erin, this is my family. Erin looks up and smiles tentatively. I'm sorry to intrude like this. I thought I'd surprise Mason and Sydney for Christmas, and... Her eyes rove over the table, and she winces. Oh, I've interrupted your dinner. I should go. But she makes no move to pass Mason back, and that Gino can understand.
Should stay,
Gino blurts out before he can stop himself. He feels himself flush when everyone looks at him.
If it's okay with you, Sid.
No, of course Erin should stay, Trina says briskly, seemingly fully recovered from the surprise. Sydney, could you and Taylor go fetch an extra place setting and chair? Let Erin have some time with Mason. And so Gino is left alone with the mother of Sydney's child.
I am Gino,
he says after a moment.
I play with Sid.
Erin smiles at him, her hand stroking Mason's back restlessly. Yes, he's told me about you. Thank you so much for everything you've done for Sydney and Mason, truly. I'm glad Sydney had people to help him out. She readjusts Mason on her hip. Sydney seems to think I magically did everything on my own, but I had my mother and my friends during the first months. He kept trying to do everything by himself.
Yes, sound like Sid.
Gino pulls out a chair for her and gestures for her to sit.
Want to be the best dad?
He is already, Erin says with conviction. She looks down at Mason, who is staring up at her adoringly and sighs. He's so big.
He can walk a little, says Gino. Maybe he'll show you later.
I can't wait. Erin kisses Mason's head and closes her eyes. Sydney comes back in with an extra chair for the table and sits down in it so that he's wedged between Gino and Erin. How long are you back for? I don't know, Erin admits. Hopefully for a while. I don't know if or when I'll get called back, but if they ask, I have to go. She bites her lip, clearly pained. You know I have to.
You do important work, Sydney says, shaking his head. You shouldn't feel guilty.
I don't want to miss him growing up, Erin says. Once my time with them is done, though, we'll see. She sounds tired, and when she looks up, Gino sees the shadows under her eyes.
Fly in today?
He asks, eyeing her wrinkled clothes. Landed 2 hours ago, she admits. Don't know if I'll last through dinner. She looks down at Mason. If I can let go of him long enough to eat.
Here.
Gino leans forwards and holds out his arms for Mason. Aaron looks at Sydney, who nods, and she passes Mason over.
Take seat next to high chair,
Gino says, getting to his feet.
Can be with Mason, still eat.
Aaron chuckles, a low, smoky sound that Gino would have found attractive in any other woman. Good idea. Taylor comes in with the extra place setting, followed closely by Troy and Trina, who are bearing the rest of the meal on huge plates. Gino hurriedly clears a space for the turkey before taking the seat across from Sydney, who has settled down on the other side of Mason's high chair. Taylor says grace before gleefully digging into the mashed potatoes. I helped peel them. I get first whack at them, she explains, creating a small mountain on her plate. I helped peel them too, protests Sydney. Yeah, but you're bad at it, Taylor says, passing the potatoes to Gino. The meal is quiet for the first 10 minutes. Sydney and Aaron both help Mason eat some of the mashed potato and some pieces of turkey cut up small. The Crosbys ask Aaron a few questions. She's 29. She went to UPenn for medical school. She specializes in epidemiology, which Gino resolves to look up later if he can figure out how to spell it. And she asks them about their holiday so far. But it's all pretty bland conversation. Then Taylor says, well, if no one else is going to ask it, I will. How on earth did my brother get you to go out with him? Taylor, Sydney says, looking very much as though he'd like to throw something at her. She sticks her tongue out at him. Aaron laughs. He's sweet, your brother. And I knew he was a good guy since he went to school with my little brother. She shrugs and for some reason looks at Gino. I knew he would be good to me. Sydney is bright red and trying to hide his face in his hands. His mother absently pats him on the back and says proudly, he's a good boy. Oh, God, Sydney groans. Are you Canadian? Taylor asks. This is very important, you see. Sydney will want Mason to play for Canada. He can play for whatever team he likes, Sydney says, though he looks like saying that physically pains him. Yes, as a matter of fact. My family's from Windsor, but Mason was born in the United States, so I think he's actually a dual citizen. He better choose Canada, mutters Sydney, and Gino bursts into laughter. The mood relaxes substantially after that, and the conversation flows freely as they eat seconds, then thirds of the meal. Gino finally forces himself to stop eating and sits back in his chair with a satisfied sigh.
Very good meal, Mr. and Mrs. Crosby,
he tells them.
Almost as good as mother's cooking.
Oh, I have your mother's recipe for borscht, says Trina, looking contrite. I was going to make it.
No, it is fine, Gino says hastily. Everything very good.
Yes, it's delicious, says Aaron, who has inhaled 3 plates of food and is working on a 4th plate of salad. I haven't eaten this well in months. She eyes her plate dubiously. I'll probably regret this later, but it was worth it. Thank you, both of you, Trina says. The turkey was all Troy's doing.
1 year we'll try smoking it, Troy says. The rub came out well this year, I think.
No one knows what you're talking about, Dad, Taylor tells him kindly. Shall we open presents before dessert? Trina suggests, getting to her feet. Gino hastily rises and clears his place before taking Taylor's empty plate, to give us all time to recover. Gino helps Trina clear the table before she kicks him out because you're a guest, Gino. Go rest with the others. He heads to the living room and halts in the door, a smile spreading across his face. The other four are lying with varying degrees of dignity on every available surface in the room. Taylor has claimed the armchair closest to the door and is clutching at her stomach, head lolling. Sydney is sprawled out on the couch, Mason resting on his chest, and Erin has taken the L-bend of the couch, curled up in on herself. Troy, who already looks to be mostly asleep, has taken the other armchair. Unable to resist, Gino snaps a picture with his phone and saves it as his contact image for Sydney before going over to sit on Sydney's feet. Sydney cracks his eyes open, but doesn't move. "Your butt is bony," Sydney says, a voice low and syrupy.
"No room anywhere else," Gino points out.
Sydney looks around and sees that Gino's right, and pulls his knees up so there's some room on the couch. As soon as Gino sits down, Sydney kicks his feet over Gino's lap.
"Hey,"
protests Gino, trying to tickle Sydney's feet. Sydney digs his toes into Gino's side and grins at him.
"Sid."
"Shh, Mason's sleeping," Sydney says, smiling beatifically at him. "Don't wake him."
"Don't use baby for excuse,"
Gino says, poking his fingers into the arch of Sydney's foot. Sydney squirms, giggling, and wraps his arms around Mason to keep him from getting knocked off. "You're the one who wanted to sit here." Sydney closes his eyes, still smiling. And Gino lets his hand settle over Sydney's ankle, rubbing his thumb over the bone. Sydney's toes twitch. The room falls quiet again, the kind of companionable quiet that's restful rather than uncomfortable. Gino could stay there forever. Sydney relaxed and happy, Mason curled up on his chest and the smell of pine tree and pastry mixing in the air. "My goodness," Trina says from the doorway. And Gino looks over to see her looking at them with a resigned smile. "You're all tuckered out." "Still want pie," Taylor protests, shifting a little to look at her mom. "And presents." "Well, here's the pie." Trina sets it on the coffee table along with a small stack of paper plates. "Eat when you're ready. I'll get the presents out from under the tree." Gino tries to get up to help her, but Sydney kicks him in the ribs. Erin drags herself upright and says, "Let me help you, Mrs. Crosby." The two of them distribute gifts, and Erin goes out to her rental to grab the gifts she had brought back with her. Sydney reluctantly straightens up, scooting over so he's pressed up against Gino. Mason has fallen asleep, and he doesn't wake when Sydney settles him on his lap.
"You okay?"
Gino asks Sydney quietly. Sydney presses his lips together thoughtfully. "Surprised," he says after a moment. "But it's good to see her again." His voice lilts up at the end of the sentence, as though he's trying to convince himself. "I'm afraid it's not much," Erin says as she comes back in the room. She hands Trina a box and Sydney a larger one. "I couldn't carry much."
"You didn't need to bring anything," Sydney protests as she sits down on his other side.
"Sydney, I crashed your family Christmas," Erin says. "Take the gift." "Oh, Erin, these are beautiful," Trina says, looking in the box. She lifts out something shaped like a bird, brightly colored and rounded. "Are these candles?" While Trina and Erin talk about the candles, Gino looks over Sydney's shoulder as he opens his box. Inside is a stuffed elephant, and what turns out to be a brightly patterned woven blanket, thick and warm. "I'm going to buy Mason more clothes," Erin says, when she sees Sydney unfold the blanket. "But I needed to see how big he is first. But I thought, you know, he always needs more stuffed animals. And I hope the blanket is okay. I thought you might like it."
"It's great, Erin," Sydney says, running his fingers over the fabric.
"Thank you." Sydney keeps stroking the blanket absently, even after he sets it down next to him. The stuffed elephant goes into Mason's arms, and Mason immediately starts chewing on the trunk in his sleep. "Glad I washed it," Erin says wryly, reaching over to twitch it out of Mason's mouth.
"He'd just start chewing again,"
Gino predicts, and sure enough, Mason wakes up long enough to locate his new chew toy and bring it back to his mouth. "Oh well," Erin sighs. She and Sydney share a look that's so reminiscent of Sydney's parents that Gino laughs, sharp and awkward, at the reminder that, yes, they are close. Sydney looks at him. Are you okay?
Yes, Gino says. Open gifts.
He nudges his boxes closer to them. Present time, Taylor cheers, and she rips into her present from Gino. Aha! She waves the box he'd gotten her at Sydney. You're watching this with me. Don't think you're getting out of it.
Ugh, fine, says Sydney.
But from the smile he gives Gino when Taylor isn't looking, Gino guesses he'd known she would say that and doesn't mind. The Crosbys have given Gino a soft gray sweater and a couple of Russian movies he knows they must have asked his parents about. Which is such a sweet gesture that it makes it hard for him to choke out,
"Thank you."
He clears his throat.
"Love these movies."
"You're very welcome, Gino," Trina says affectionately. She's already wearing the necklace he had bought her, the delicate white gold chain glinting in the light. "And thank you."
"Yes,"
agrees Troy, lifting the watch Gino had given him. The last time they had seen each other, Troy had been complaining about his old watch running slow.
"You didn't need to get us anything."
"You let me have Christmas with you," Gino says. "Must give gifts."
Feeling a little embarrassed and on the spot, Gino kicks Sydney's ankle and says,
"Open,"
gesturing to the boxes still sitting at his feet. Sydney shifts Mason into Aaron's lap before leaning down to pick up the gift labeled to Mason. "You're kidding," Sydney says in exasperation when he sees what's inside. He lifts it out for the benefit of the others, and Gino allows himself to grin when Taylor starts laughing. "A Team Russia jersey?" Sydney turns it around and shakes his head. "I assume this is yours?"
"You could, of course. But Mason need to know who is best," Gino says.
Sydney rolls his eyes and digs through the tissue paper, coming up with the first plush toy. "You didn't."
"Check the box,"
Gino said, grinning madly. Sydney eyes him suspiciously, then shakes the box until the other one falls out. He groans, settles both on his lap so everyone can see the A plush on Gino and the C on the plush Sydney, and says, "I really hate these things." "I've never seen them in person," Aaron says, leaning in. "May I?" Sydney passes over the plush toy of himself, wrinkling his nose in distaste. Aaron looks at it for a minute, her mouth pressing into a smaller and smaller line. Then she starts to giggle.
"It's even worse than you said," she says.
"I know," Taylor says gleefully, coming over to look too. "Aren't they terrible?" "Mason is going to chew on our heads," Sydney tells Gino. "I hope you know that."
"I just think,"
Gino says, quiet so that only Sydney can hear.
"Nice for Mason to have when you are not here."
Sydney's expression softens. He puts his hand over Gino's, just for a moment, and says, "It's a nice thought, Gino. Thank you." Gino swallows and bends down to pick up his gift to Sydney.
"Don't forget for you."
Gino always struggles to buy gifts for Sydney. He thinks most people do, because Sydney is a practical sort of person who buys himself everything he needs and rarely wants anything that isn't hockey-related. This year, he's defaulted to something he's pretty sure Sydney will like, and Sydney's smile when he opens it confirms it. "I haven't watched this one yet," Sydney says, holding up the box set of The Pacific. "Will you watch it with me?"
"Might need help," Gino says. "Bad at history."
"I'll explain stuff to you," Sydney says. "Then you haven't opened my gift yet," he points out, smiling eagerly. He pushes at Gino's shoulder. "Go on." Gino eyes him warily, then carefully unties the ribbon and peels off the wrapping paper. Inside is a sleek black picture frame, the glass covered with a piece of cardboard. Gino lifts it away and freezes, hands shaking. It's a photo from Mason's birthday party, One Simone must have taken, he realizes. And it's from just before they had lit the candle on the cake. Gino and Sydney are settling Mason into his high chair, and Sydney is laughing at something, cheeks bunched up and flushed. Gino can almost hear his stupid honking giggle just looking at it. And Gino is smiling at Sydney and Mason like he's never seen anything better in his entire life. Gino hadn't realized that he was quite so obvious. He knows he isn't great at hiding his feelings, but it's written all over his face.
I want to belong here, it says, and I love you both so much.
I am, Sydney says nervously, and Gino realizes he has been silent for nearly a full minute, just staring at the photo. I just thought you might like to have a picture of you and Mason, and I liked this one. It's okay if you don't like it.
Love it, Sid,
Gino says quietly.
Thank you.
He carefully sets the frame on the coffee table.
Very nice picture.
Aaron leans forward to pick it up. This is from the birthday party? Ooh, I want to see, Taylor says, and she and Sydney's parents pass it between them to look. Aw, Taylor says. You guys look so happy. Looks like a fun party, Trina says, as Aaron takes the picture back from Troy.
Very nice, Gino agrees. Many friends come.
Aaron doesn't say anything, just looks at the picture. There's an odd expression on her face. She's smiling a little, but she looks sad, too. I really wish I could have been there, she says quietly. And she looks over at Gino. I'm glad you were. Gino frowns, but no one seems to think it's an odd thing for her to say.
So am I,
he says finally. After they eat the pie, Gino insists on helping Trina clean up, and goes with her to the kitchen to help put away the remaining leftovers and wash the dishes. She asks about his family, and he tells her about his brother's girlfriend and his mother's new knitting hobby. And when he asks, she tells him about what she's been doing with both her kids away. I almost wish Sydney would calm me down to help take care of Mason, she says wryly. But he's doing fine.
He is,
Gino agrees. I'm so proud of him, Trina says, turning to lean against the counter. Of both of you.
Me? Gino asks, surprised. Why me?
You've been such a good friend to him. Trina squeezes his shoulder. And Mason is doing so well, and I know that's partially thanks to you.
No,
Gino says immediately, shaking his head.
I not do much.
Of course not, Trina says. You didn't buy that stroller for him or tell him to hire a nanny.
Okay,
Gino says, feeling chastened.
Maybe I help a little.
He pinches his fingers together. Trina smiles and gives him a hug. Now, go relax, she says. I can take care of the rest of the cleanup from here. Taylor and Troy have already gone up to bed when Gino returns to the living room. And Sydney is presumably upstairs putting Mason to bed. But Aaron has fallen asleep on the couch, stretched out and completely dead to the world. Gino hesitates, then covers her with the blanket she had given Sydney. In sleep, she looks younger, the lines on her face smoothed out. Gino wishes that he could hate her, that he could resent her for having Sydney and not wanting him, that he could resent her for taking the family Gino wants. And now that he's met her, he can see why Sydney would have gravitated towards her. Besides, she's Mason's mother, and he knows he could never hate anyone who's responsible for him. I should go to my hotel, she mumbles, her eyes opening to thin slits.
No, sleep, Gino says. Sydney say same.
Aaron smiles slightly. I like you, Gino, she says sleepily. Thank you for helping take care of Mason and Sydney.
Always,
Gino says, and he twitches the blanket over her feet before gathering up his gifts. He takes them out to his car before going back inside to say goodbye to Trina, and is about to leave when Sydney pads into the hall, dressed in his pajamas. Leaving without saying goodbye? Sydney asks, a smile playing around his mouth. Not very Christmas-spirited of you.
Not Christmas in Russia yet,
Gino says. Sydney does smile at that, and Gino's stomach flips.
I think you are asleep.
Not yet. Sydney chews on his lower lip for a moment, then reaches out to awkwardly squeeze Gino's shoulder. Thank you for coming. Gino rolls his eyes and folds Sydney into a hug, squeezing tight. Sydney lets out a sigh and hugs him back.
Merry Christmas, Sid,
Gino says.
Erin is sleeping on couch. I tell her she can stay.
Okay. Sydney steps back and shakes his head. It's going to be weird having her around.
Good or bad?
Gino asks, genuinely curious. Sydney has rarely mentioned Erin, but Gino has never gotten the impression that Sydney missed her, really. He always said her name fondly, but no differently from how he'd say Gino or Neil's name. Good, I think, Sydney smiles. Merry Christmas, Gino. Drive safe. Gino suddenly wants to kiss Sydney so badly that he actually steps closer before he can stop himself. Sydney tilts his head quizzically, and Gino forces himself to just smile, stomach twisting at how close they are, how he can smell the sugar on Sydney's breath.
Night, Sid,
he says, voice coming out husky, and he lets himself out. He drives home in silence and comes back to a cold, dark house. Gino sighs in the echoing emptiness of his front hall before dragging himself upstairs to his room. He sets his gifts on his dresser before digging out a penguin sweatshirt to sleep in. He is about to get into bed when he thinks to take the photo from Sydney and set it on his bedside table, where he'll see it when he wakes. He lies down so that he's facing it and closes his eyes. His house is very quiet.